Here with the gravy, Davey.
Davey.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Welcome to Say Yes to the Chef. I am Chef Janice Escott. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, I'm Chef Kelly Taylor.
And today we're going to be talking about Kelly's new bakery and gluten-free diet.
Yep.
So, a new bakery in town. Pretty soon.
Pretty soon. Right on Franklin Street.
Right on
Franklin Street. Pizzelle Bakery.
Okay, say the name again.
Pizzelle Bakery. It's P as in Paul, I, Z as in zebra, Z as in zebra, E-L-L-E.
Okay. Pizzelle, I would say, but I don't think I'm right.
Well, pizzelle are it's the plural form of pizzella, which is an old, very old cookie. Some people believe to be one of the first cookies ever made in existence back in Rome. And they're really thin, delicate cookies, round, like a pizza. The pizzelle and pizza share the same root word. So that's why they sound cool. Similar, pizza,
yes.
And pizzelle, because that root word actually means round. So okay. That's where they come from. And there is a lot of debate about the name. Some people pronounce it pizzelle. Some people pronounce it pizzelle. Some people pronounce it pizzelle. And, you know, people will argue about it, actually. I mean, depending on, it's especially funny in the United States because there's a lot of Italian neighborhoods, you know, spread around the country. And depending on where you are in different parts of the country, they pronounce it differently. And you know,
so how are we going to pronounce it in Chapel Hill?
Well, I think I don't really care how people pronounce it. I mean, I'm okay with however people pronounce it as long as they remember it, you know.
Okay, of course.
But I pronounce it pizzelle. That's how.
Pizzelle.
Because it's like you wouldn't say pizza. You wouldn't say pizza.
Right.
You would say pizza. And so pizzelle would
pizzelle.
Be P. But I don't mind. However people say it is fine with me.
Okay. And why gluten-free?
Well, right. It's a gluten-free bakery. It's the first gluten-free bakery with a brick and mortar, you know, in the Triangle. We have some great bakers who bake out of their home and do mail order or just do wholesale products. But we don't have a brick and mortar. And I've actually waited a while to open a brick and mortar, a gluten-free brick and mortar. I wasn't quite sure that there was enough demand in the area yet. I mean, across the country, there are gluten-free bakeries. But I just was kind of waiting for a little bit for the time to be right. And I know now that there is a lot more demand. I mean, you can walk through any store now and there's like gluten-free aisles. You can go to most restaurants and find gluten-free options on all of the menus. So I know that it's definitely there's more of a need than maybe there was before.
So why are you, Kelly, doing gluten-free?
Well, I am sensitive to gluten. I don't have celiacs, which is what everyone assumes. If you don't eat gluten, they'll say, oh, you have celiacs, which is a funny thing to me, actually. When you tell people you don't eat something, they automatically think they can start grilling you about your medical history. So it's a funny thing, actually. You know, people don't do that for other things, but suddenly they start asking you all of your medical stuff. But I am not celiacs. I have the gene for celiacs. You can get tested for that, which I did, and I have the gene for it. And I have been tested that I'm sensitive to gluten. In order to have celiacs, in my opinion, you know, I'm not a medical professional, so everything I say today is, you know, through that lens. But celiacs are usually diagnosed when it's an autoimmune disease, and they're diagnosed because of an internal biopsy of their intestines. And usually what they're looking for is to see that they've been damaged. And the gluten, eating gluten damages the villi, which are these little like hair-like substances on your intestines that grab the nutrients and hold them and suck them in. And when you have celiacs, those little hair-like villi, they get kind of mashed down. It's like the difference between grass growing out of a ground and the grass is the villi growing up. And then if you have celiacs, it's like bare, slick, dark, you know, hard mud or something where the water just runs off. And then in your intestines, it'd be like your nutrients would just run off, right? They cannot be absorbed. And so you get a whole host of other problems when you have celiacs because your body isn't absorbing those nutrients that it needs. But in order to be diagnosed, you have to have a problem, really. I mean, you've had to get to a point where your intestines are ruined, you know, and it takes a long time to come back and heal from that. You can. And the only way to heal is to stop eating gluten. So I decided a long time ago that I have the gene for celiacs. I do have some sensitivity to gluten. And I just was being proactive in that I know how to cook. I know how to bake. Mm-hmm. So why don't I just make food that I can eat and feel good about and not have to worry about in 5 years, you know, having to be in a worse spot medically than I am now.
So what are some of the symptoms that one might have if they are sensitive?
Well, there's a couple different things. So there's celiacs, which is an autoimmune illness. But then there is something that they just call non-celiac gluten sensitivity. That rolls right off the tongue. And that means you don't have celiacs, but you react negatively to gluten. That's what it means. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of debate about it. There's a whole bunch of people arguing. Okay. And I don't want to get in the argument because right. I know that I feel better when I don't eat it. Okay. I don't need someone to give me a label to tell me what I should and shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. I just pay attention to what I feel like when I eat and what I feel like is better when I don't eat gluten. So for me, it ends up... it shows up in a lot of different ways. It's like any other thing in your body. Depending on a person, we all have our own weak spots. We all have our own weak points in our own body. And when something happens and breaks down and your immune system's starting to break down, we all have flare-ups in different regions depending on where our weakest link is. So if something like gluten affects you and causes that weak link to kind of get weaker or even break, then that might be my digestion. It might be someone else's head and they might get headaches. It might, you know, it might just show up in different ways for different people. I also am more clear-headed when I don't eat gluten. I don't know why. Mm-hmm, I mean, but I am. So I think it just shows up in different ways. And there are some blood tests that you can take it's like allergy testing now. They've come a long way in being able to diagnose and test for these things. For years, they didn't have very good testing for sort of a gluten sensitivity. But now you can take a blood test and they can help you see a little bit more what's happening in your body. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice advance.
So let's go back to the bakery idea and ask, what are your qualifications for opening a bakery?
Yeah, well, before we do that, I didn't mention, you know, there's also people who don't eat gluten that just have an allergy to wheat.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So
I forgot about that.
That is different than celiacs, and that is different than non-celiac gluten sensitivity. It's just like you're allergic to peanuts. You can't eat a peanut. You have
an acetohistamine
release. So that is the same principle. If you're allergic to wheat, you're allergic to wheat. It just so happens to have gluten,
Right.
Which we didn't talk about, but gluten is a protein.
It is a protein.
And so it just, that's just happens to be the case too. Mm-hmm. So,
that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that
up. Yeah. I mean, there are lots of other medical conditions that people take gluten out of their diet for. Autism, some people have remarkable success by removing gluten and other food items from their diet. IBS, which is irritable bowel syndrome, which shows up in a lot of people apparently these days. And a lot of people take that out, take gluten out and other things causing digestive issues.
Sometimes milk products.
Right. Mm-hmm. Often dairy and gluten, the protein of dairy and the protein in wheats and all the gluten structures look similar to your body. And so often people who have a problem like myself, who have a problem with gluten, like having a hard time digesting that, often have a problem with dairy. So those two go hand in hand quite a lot. And in the bakery, I'll make quite a few things that have no dairy as well as no gluten, because often you can find gluten-free items, but the gluten-free items then have butter or milk or something like that, and then I still can't eat them. And since those two are so tied together, I'm going to accommodate that, certainly. And also, I would like to eat food that I make. So,
of course.
There's plenty of things in there that will be gluten-free and dairy-free. We actually have to take a break. I'm just looking at the clock. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef on 97.9 WCHL. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Tommy.
Oh, Tommy.
Here with the gravy, David.
David.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Welcome back. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef. I am Kelly Taylor with my co-host Janice Escott. And today we're talking about gluten-free diets and in particular, a bakery called Fazelle Bakery, which is my new bakery that will be opening very soon in the spring. When we left off, we were talking a little bit about explaining what gluten is, why people avoid eating gluten, and maybe why some people benefit from a gluten-free diet, which is that they stop eating gluten and they feel better, basically. I mean, you know, that's the whole key. So that's what we talked about so far.
And so let's talk a little bit about your background and why a bakery.
Well, I love to bake.
That's, I think, really important.
So I got into culinary not a long time ago. It's not my first job. You know, I've had lots of other jobs and been other things in my life. So I came into it sort of later in life. And it was after I had my son who had some allergy issues, and I was overwhelmed and confused by the information or lack of information that I could find to try to feed my son properly. And so I ended up going to the Natural Gourmet, which is a culinary school in Manhattan in New York City. And they focus on health-based food as well as a traditional culinary degree. So you learn things that are fascinating there. It was fascinating to me to learn about, you know, Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine and just in general health, paying attention to what happens when you eat food, paying attention to what the food actually does to your body. And how do you make really good food? You know, so it was both things together, and I really enjoyed it. And then when we came to, we were in North Carolina already. I went to school, and then I came back to North Carolina. And very soon after that, met Janice.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's right.
can tell that story.
I can tell that story a few years ago. I was at Central Carolina Community College developing a natural chef program there and hiring instructors to teach in the program. And Kelly came along, and it took me about 2 minutes to decide that this was a person I really wanted to have on my team.
Yeah.
And so we did it together.
Yeah, it was really fun.
It was fun, and her knowledge, expertise, and personality was exactly what the program needed. And so we worked together and developed this program, which still exists today.
Yes, it does. And sometimes I go down and still teach there when they need somebody to fill in.
Yes.
I always thought when we developed that program that it was kind of like, if I could make a program that had everything that I learned, but all the rest of the stuff that I wanted to learn but I didn't learn, it shoved in there, that's what it would be. So we had a really good time. I enjoyed it.
Did.
And we still get along well. We're still co-hosting
and
the show.
And it was years ago.
So, and we both taught around, so we taught there.
And we've been doing things together ever since.
Yeah, we taught at Art Institute.
And I'll be hanging out in her bakery.
Yes, she will. And teaching
when
in the
opens.
Market that the bakery
yes,
is in.
Yes, and teaching there, so we're not finished yet.
Yes, we're not finished. But, you know, it's funny because after I left there, I taught at the Art Institute. And it was, to me, it was funny because I taught two classes at the Art Institute. I taught pastry, like beginning pastry, and health, which people don't usually put together. And they were kind of a funny thing. I mean, what I was teaching in one and then what I was teaching in the other were kind of contradictory sometimes. But
and we were there together during that time, and I was there.
So it was fun. But, you know, that kind of cemented, actually, when I was working there, it cemented even more my need to be able to work in a place that I could thrive in. So I have, as a teacher, I had to taste everybody's food that they made in pastry class.
That's how
I graded them. And it made me sick. I mean, I was sick because
I ate
dairy and gluten and everything, just tons of sugar. I mean, it was just like, oh, my gosh. And I was sick quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And I remember just thinking, I just can't keep going on like that. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to work somewhere where I could make food and taste it and not have to be sickened by it. So
that will be happening very soon in Chapel Hill.
The gluten-free thing.
Yes.
But
I'm interested to have you tell what the grains are that contain gluten.
Well, it's forms of wheat. So wheat, spelt, there's like triticale. There's lots of names for wheat, but wheat.
Okay.
But for most people, they would know wheat, spelt, barley, rye. Those are all wheat and all have gluten. Mm-hmm. Oats, if they're not marked gluten-free, do cause problems for some people who have a sensitivity to gluten or celiacs.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the grains, but often people forget, you know, if you just go eat couscous, like if you're just buying food and not looking at what's in them, pasta, and couscous is a pasta.
Yes, it
like
is.
People think it's like rice, but it isn't. No. It is small, little, teeny tiny pasta balls, you know. So it is gluten-y. Mm-hmm. That's my official term, gluten-y.
So read labels.
Read labels. But, you know, here's the thing. When I went gluten-free officially, it took me like a while to actually do it because, I mean, the first thing I ever learned to make professionally was bread. I like to make bread. I enjoy it. And it was hard for me to give up all of that stuff. It really was. But in actuality, most things are gluten-free. Most ingredients. Now, we just happen to live in a country where wheat is subsidized, and it is in a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It shows up everywhere.
It's inexpensive.
Yes.
So it is everywhere.
Right. But traditionally and historically, all cultures have made lots of things without wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so you just have to rethink, I guess, a little bit and stop feeling maybe like you're poor me, I can't eat gluten.
So what are those grains that are gluten-free that you will be using in your bakery?
Well, there's hundreds of grains. I mean,
many more than
wheat. I mean, there's just
exactly.
So many of them.
Right.
Like sorghum, which is one of my favorite, millet, which is one of the most easily digestible grains. It's used a lot in Africa. Sorghum is actually here. I mean, the South, we have sorghum.
Yes,
so sorghum is something that grows here. Mm-hmm. People might have heard of sorghum syrup.
Syrup, which I love.
Which they might not use sorghum flour necessarily, but it's not a strange word necessarily.
I like it better than molasses, by the way.
Yeah.
I do. It tastes better.
Those two are pretty easily used a lot. They're pretty mild, but they have good flavor. And, of course, if you get a gluten-free oat, you can use oats. But all of the starches, potato starch, tapioca starch, arrowroot, corn starch, all of the starches are certainly gluten-free. And then there's a whole host of other ones. I really like teff flour, which is
that comes from Africa, too.
Yeah, it's this really dark, dark grain that is kind of nutty already tasting, so it pairs really good when you make things with chocolate. And the fun thing about gluten-free flours is that you know, they have flavor. When you use regular all-purpose flour, it's just flour. You're like, you don't really think of it as a flavor.
It does have
a flavor.
It does, but you have to add so many other things to it to get flavor.
Right, but gluten-free flours have a flavor because it's like whole wheat flour has a flavor. All-purpose white flour is, you know, wheat flour that's been stripped of everything.
Right.
And then that's why it's white flour now.
Right.
But wheat flour has a flavor. And so does sorghum. And so does millet. And so does teff. Right. And they all have these interesting flavors. And so as a chef, it's fun because I just expanded what I can do. So now I know that this has this kind of a flavor and that would pair really well with this kind of a thing. And so that makes it much more fun for me. But I think for an everyday cook, overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing works right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Nothing's going to work out like all-purpose flour.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very frustrating to people who are trying to do this at home, because it is frustrating. I mean, I do this professionally and I still screw stuff up all the time, all the time, because you have to experiment and you have to see what goes what with what. And removing the gluten has some issues. It takes the structure out of a lot of things. So we have to take another break.
Okay.
And maybe we should talk about, we could talk about what gluten actually does. But
yes.
We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef on WCHL 97.9. We'll be back in just a little bit to talk more with me and Janice. We're talking about gluten
and the bakery.
Yes, gluten-free diets, and in particular, the Pizzelle Bakery, which I'll be opening soon. Don't go anywhere.
Tommy.
Oh, Tommy.
Here with the gravy, David.
David.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Welcome back. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef. I'm Kelly Taylor with Chef Janice Escott as my co-host. And today we're talking about what the heck gluten-free is and Pizzelle Bakery, which is a bakery that is a gluten-free bakery, the first in the area that
will
be opening soon. And I haven't given the website. The website is Pizzelle Bakery, which is P as in Paul, I, Z, Z as in zebras, ELLEbakery.com. So,
are there two Z's or one?
Two Z's, two L's.
Two Z's, two L's.
Yeah.
Okay. P-I-Z-Z-E-L-L-E.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so, when we talk about gluten-free, I know that people with celiac, it's important for them to have a separate kitchen so that the products are not contaminated with the wheat. So how will you be addressing that?
Right. That's the main problem that exists in the triangle. So even though a restaurant has gluten-free options, they're not gluten-free because gluten is like, think about flour. When you open flour, it just flies around.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So that gluten is flying everywhere because it's in the flour. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to get out of things, you know. So if you share a kitchen with people who use wheat or gluten, it's hard to say that it is gluten-free. So the only way to really do that, to really be completely gluten-free, is to not share a kitchen with people who use gluten. So the bakery, Pizzelle Bakery, is actually going to be inside of Blue Dogwood Public Market, which is the food hall on Franklin Street in downtown Chapel Hill. And I have my own stall, and the only one in there that has walls, really, because I wanted to have a separate space. Does it share the same ventilation? Is it still open in the market? Yes, it is. I mean, if I wanted to make it, it would have completely, absolutely no way gluten's getting in. You would have to do all of those things, too. But I am trying my best. We're not ever bringing anything into the bakery that has gluten in it. So that I feel pretty good about that. I mean, people will certainly be able to eat there, I think, and feel pretty confident that they're not having any gluten in their food.
So okay, well, that's good, because I know that's something that people ask about. So there's this thing about hidden gluten. There are products that have gluten, and you really wouldn't realize that the gluten is there.
Yeah. It shows up in a lot of weird spots. My mom and dad have tried a long time to help. You know, like, they're trying to get things. They moved in with me, and they buy things, and they're like, hey, they're so excited when they get me something they think I can eat, you know? Because they've learned that they think that they're buying something for me, but it turns out it has gluten. So, you know, you have to look at the back. The good thing about packaging these days, if you're buying something that's in a package, is gluten, wheat in particular, is one of the top allergens. So it has to be listed on packaging. You know, there's an allergen list that they have to do. So oftentimes you will see wheat on there. Gluten isn't listed, but wheat is. So sometimes people will put gluten, but usually they don't. So then you really have to know what all those words mean.
Of course.
And that's like anything when you're learning packaging, to read packaging for real. What do those words really mean that are on the back of the package if they're not like real foods? Right. And even if they are real foods, like soy sauce is a real food, you know, I don't think of it as weird, but they ferment soy on wheat with wheat. And so therefore, if you buy regular soy sauce, then
it
you've
gotten
wheat and gluten. So you have to buy tamari, which is soy sauce, but it's been fermented without wheat. So you just have to start to do your homework. It shows up in toothpaste. It shows up in weird spots like licorice. I love licorice, but I can't eat licorice anymore. It shows up because people use the starch of wheat a lot, too. And
of course.
It just shows up a lot in a lot of different places.
Beer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it has wheat products in it.
Yep, that's because that's what they use. That's the grain they use, barley especially. To make
beer. But there are gluten-free beers around.
Right. So
especially now that we have craft beers and they're getting used to the idea that some of the beer needs to be gluten-free.
Yeah,
so they're producing it.
It's definitely it's coming along, but it's still a headache. I mean, it's in toothpaste, it's in shampoo, it's in like weirdest things. And you're like, why is this in here? So, it's all over the place.
So talk to us about your menu. In your bakery, what are some of the things you're going to be doing?
Well, obviously, we're going to be making pizzelles, which
are cookies.
And
that's made in a special...
It's made in an iron. So traditionally, you know, historically, they were... Families would make their own special iron press. Like,
And it has a pattern on it.
And it has a pattern. It used to be the family crest. Or sometimes it would be... something that celebrated, like a major holiday. They were pretty labor-intensive to make because you could only make one at a time, and they had to be pressed between this thing, put in, you know, put into a fire and cooked, and then taken out. And so it was very labor-intensive and would take a very long time, and they were not made except for on special holidays or special occasions. Traditionally, in Italy, they're made for special holidays and special occasions like weddings. And and I love that. I love that it's a special kind of cookie, but we're going to have it every day, even though it's a special day every day at the bakery. But we are kind of taking a little twist and turning it into a little southernness. The traditional flavor is licorice flavor. And so we'll do that, but we'll also do vanilla and chocolate because those are very American flavors.
And are they going to be cookies just as cookies, or will you be doing clever things with them?
Well, we'll do clever things. I mean, I'm going to roll them like a cannoli and fill them with what you would find in like tiramisu, which is like zabaglione mixed with whipped cream, mixed with mascarpone. I mean, that...
I want one of those.
Yeah, that kind of a yummy filling just piped into them. We can make sandwiches out of them, especially in the summer. We'll sandwich ice cream. And we can roll them in the edges in nuts, you know, or sprinkles. And so we'll make them every way we can come up with. It'll change just whatever we come
And besides
up with.
Pizzelles, what else?
So we make sweet and savory. So sweets will do... lots of cakes and pies, and taking the traditional things like a torta caprese, which is a decadent chocolate cake from Caprese, the area that's Capri, as we would say it, Capri, which is an island off of the Amalfi Coast. And they make this delicious cake, and it's basically chocolate and almonds. And sugar, you know, it's very rich and very yummy. And so I'll make a version of that, but we're in the South and we have pecans. And if there's anything Italian, it's to use what you have. So I'm going to use what we have, and we have pecans. So I'll take that and make it my own by using ground pecans instead of the almonds, which I have done, and it's even more delicious. Because pecans are sort of sweet, you know? So it's pretty yummy. So we'll make cakes and pies and other little treats as we come up with them. And then also some bread. So the hard thing about gluten-free is bread. Bread is the kicker that everybody has a hard time making and finding. So we will make Italian loaf breads, like little artisanal type breads, and then focaccia breads.
Focaccia. You have a very special focaccia.
Oh, Janice.
It's delightful.
Yes, Janice has tasted my many versions.
I have.
I don't know how many versions I've made of focaccia bread, but you've tasted a lot of them.
I have.
And so we'll certainly have a focaccia, and all the savory things we'll serve with some, you know, yummy spreads and toppings, like a bruschetta, which is a little toast topped with yumminess. So we'll have those will just be seasonal depending on what we have. And what we can come up with in our back in our little kitchen. You know, we'll create our own little goodies. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we're having coffee, too, because we're Italian. And that's,
of course,
coffee
you have to
is,
have coffee.
You know, we're going to start with drip coffee and then add espresso as we go. But that is very Italian. Espresso's from Italy. And
local,
we're using Carrboro Coffee local, roasters.
Yes,
so
roaster.
We're happy to have them in the bakery as well. And we're going to have a good time. The bakery is supposed to be fun. And, you know, a joyous place to come and not feel bad about what you're eating. There'll be options for everybody, you know, mm-hmm. for vegetarians, meat eaters, gluten-free people. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's options abound. I want people to be able to come there and not feel like the odd man out when they eat, which is what I always feel like when I go out. I'm always the odd man out. So I do not want that to happen in the bakery. Mm-hmm. So there'll be something for everyone. We have to take a break, Janice. So
okay.
You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef on WCHL 97.9. We'll be back in just a few more minutes to continue the conversation.
Oh, Tommy.
Here with the gravy, David.
David.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Welcome back. This is Say Yes to the Chef on WCHL 97.9. I'm Kelly Taylor with my co-host Janice Escott. And we're talking about Pizzelle Bakery, gluten-free bakery, my gluten-free bakery that will be opening soon in the spring. And downtown Chapel Hill.
Yes.
In the Blue Dogwood Public Market, which is also a new venture.
Yes, it is.
A food hall on Franklin Street. And mm-hmm. we're right in the same building Vespa's in. So if you know where that is, it's 306.
Vespa Restaurant on
West Franklin.
West Franklin. Mm-hmm. And you just walk to the back.
Yep. And, it's we'll in be the in there.
Mm-hmm. And wonderful parking.
Yeah, we have parking, which is unusual.
It is.
On Franklin Street. We have parking lots.
And your hours will be?
We are open Wednesday through, will be open Wednesday through Sunday, 11 to 8. And then those hours might expand, but to get started
to
in
get
the market,
started.
We're opening 11 to 8.
And there will be other people in the market?
Mm-hmm.
There'll be
other vendors, other vendors. So it'll be a really fun place to be. You can come and get some baked thing for me and walk over and get some seafood, or you can go get, you know, your meat there. You can get a fresh juice. You can get some tea. You can get an empanada.
So if you don't drink coffee, or if you would prefer to have some tea some afternoon, so you can come and have a bakery, wonderful bakery piece of something delicious, and then go over and buy some tea.
Yeah.
And
so
stop by and get some chocolate.
Yeah. Hope you can come and have something delicious and meander around, eat something else.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's the fun about a market.
That's just great. So tell us your Facebook page.
Oh, Facebook. It's just Pizzelle Bakery.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I hope people go up there and if you like us, then I'll post up there as we get ready to open and then when we're open, what we're making, because that'll change. Our menu's going to change.
So you already have the Facebook page.
And,
but you also have a website for the market.
Well, we have a website for the bakery, too, and for the market. So the bakery is pizzellebakery.com, and the market is bluedogwood.com.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
That's
so
great.
You'll be able to find us somewhere up there. Yeah.
So some of the other things that are going to be happening there, classes.
Right. We have a teaching kitchen, which is great, right, in the market, and all of our vendors will be teaching, and I'll be teaching as well. So I'll do some gluten-free baking and cooking classes. Janice will be teaching.
I will be doing some too.
So, yeah.
Not gluten-free, but you will be doing.
Yeah, and you can find out about those classes when they come up on both our websites. So both on the Blue Dogwood and on the Pizzelle or on their Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So
and there will be other people who will be teaching there too. Commercial kitchen will have glass wall. I think this is absolutely exciting.
Yeah, it's fun to see what people are doing back there.
Yeah. And then you can open that wall.
Yeah.
And people can be seated and watch the demo.
Yeah.
Or when it's closed, people can watch people cooking in there.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to see that all happening. It's really going to be fun.
Well, I like the intimacy of the market. So when you come to the bakery, I'll be there, right? And you get to know the people who are making your food, which is really very nice and very different than most places. So when you come by, please do say hi.
I have another question. People who follow the paleo diet, is this Is gluten-free something that they will be interested in?
Well, they eat gluten-free typically, but they don't eat sugar, like sugar in the sugar form.
Oh.
They don't eat things that are processed like that. But you could use, like, if I used maple sugar or maple syrup or honey, then they would be able to eat that. Mm-hmm. Some things will be like that.
So you're going to be able to list the ingredients that you have for whatever products you're making, mm-hmm. so that people will know whether or not that's something that they're going to...
Yeah, everything will be identified. I mean, that's mm-hmm. important for us because, mm-hmm. I mean, that's sort of what we're about.
Mm-hmm.
But for paleo people, we use a lot of almond and nut flours and things like that. And so mm-hmm. those would all be fine for paleo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's good. That's mm-hmm. that's really good. So actually, give us a few hints about how you actually cook without gluten.
Well,
just
actually,
a couple of hints,
yeah.
Just a few things that, you know, for people to remember.
The gluten-free flour mixes you can find are all very different. So you have to get used to the idea that you can't just go buy an all-purpose whatever. They call them all-purpose gluten-free flours, but they are not. Because every all-purpose gluten-free flour mix is a mix of many flours.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of those mm-hmm. flours has different properties. And I like to think when you start to learn how to make gluten-free things, you really have to start to learn about the actual individual flours and what they do and how they change. Like if you're going to use a white rice flour, it's going to behave differently than a sorghum flour. And I like to think of it as if you cook the grain itself and you see how that grain cooks up, like for instance, millet. When you cook millet, it gets kind of sticky.
It does.
And mm-hmm. so a flour would have those properties.
That's
a good thing. Mm-hmm. And then also you can taste it. You could eat the millet and go, oh, this is what the flour is going to taste like because it's just ground up millet.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that is something really important that you're going to have to do. I mean, mm-hmm. there isn't like, if you really want to be making good things, then you really do need to understand what flours, and you don't have to use 100 of them. You just find the ones you like mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. stick with them.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make your own gluten-free flour blend, when you make pastries and things that don't rely on gluten, they do not rely on the structure that gluten provides,
mm-hmm.
like a cookie doesn't really mm-hmm. need gluten in order to stay together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's usually got egg and other things in there and it sticks together. You can use gluten-free flours that are starchy, you know, the tapioca starch, the potato starch, those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
You can do easily half starch to a half whole grain, meaning you could do half of the starches, sorghum, potato, tapioca, cornstarch, and half other whole grains like sorghum, millet, teff, right? That is a pretty safe bet on starting out. If you did a whole starch one, I don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find that a lot, a whole purpose or all purpose blend that's all starch. I think it tastes terrible. They're chalky. I don't like them. They have no flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't mm-hmm. prefer it. But if you want to make a blend of your own, I would start with 50-50 mm-hmm. and go from there. The blend I like is about 60-40, about 60% mm-hmm. whole grain to 40%. Starch.
So we just had a mini class.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a science
learning
how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And you mm-hmm. really do need to pay attention and take lots of notes and write down what you mm-hmm. like and what you don't like.
Mm-hmm. So, or just come to the bakery and have gluten-free.
Yeah. Or come to one of the classes too and I'll show you my flour. I tell people my flour blends and what mm-hmm. I do. And it's not a secret, you know.
So speaking of... classes and making this wonderful food. I know you have a brownie recipe.
I do. I have a brownie recipe that's made with almond flour, which I really like.
Okay.
And it's not very difficult to make, so it's a good one for people to start out. And everybody likes brownies.
So get your paper and pencil
everybody
because
likes brownies.
She's going to give you your brownie recipe.
I'll give it to you.
Recipe.
So it's typical brownie mm-hmm. that you have to heat the oven to 350 and grease your pan. And I usually use a 9-inch square pan for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I often line the bottom with parchment so that I can pull the whole thing out and cut them mm-hmm. after it's baked. So you don't have to. You can just grease it if you want. And then what we're going to do is mix together melted butter. And you can use regular unsalted butter. It's a half a cup. Or you could use melted Earth Balance butter, which is a non-dairy butter as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you melt those down in the microwave or in the pan, whatever you want to do. And then you combine it. with cocoa, half a cup of cocoa, so equal amounts of butter and cocoa, because I like it chocolatey. And then you add the sugar, which is 1 cup of sugar, 2 eggs, vanilla, which I like vanilla, so I usually do like 2 teaspoons, but you could do 1 teaspoon, which is what normally people call for, and any kind of other extract you want. If you want to add another little bit of almond extract, you can. I would only put in like 1/4 teaspoon. And you mix that together until it's smooth, and then you put that aside. And in another bowl, you mix all the dry ingredients, which is 1/2 cup of almond flour and 2 tablespoons of some kind of a starch. It could be cornstarch, potato starch. 1/2 teaspoon of baking powder and 1/2 teaspoon of salt. And you then mix that together, then combine the wet and the dry, pour it in the pan and bake it. And it's usually like 30 minutes. And they're done. Yeah. It's delicious.
And they are absolutely delicious.
So try them.
Yes. Please do that, because those are a very special brownie recipe.
You've eaten those.
I have eaten those many times. Many times. So is there anything else that you want to tell us about for the...
No, okay, I mean, we'll come back and talk about it again.
All right.
Sometime.
Great. Pizzelli Bakery. Please like us on our Facebook page, Yes to the Chef. And for more information and to listen to previous podcasts of this program, be sure to visit our website, www.yestothechef.com. We're co-hosts Kelly Taylor, natural chef and instructor, and Janice Escott, Cordon Bleu chef and instructor. Happy cooking, Kelly.
Happy cooking, Janice.